So if you've got Bibles, John 13, if you're using these ones that are available around, we've got page 1091. So just before I read it, just remembering, please, that this is about Jesus' love for his disciples. We're going to be talking about averages. We're going to be talking about our part that we have to play in all this kind of stuff. But there is also this idea that Jesus was a leader. Jesus was a teacher. He was their rabbi, but he was also their servant. He was the one at the end of this story, washes their feet. So, John 13. It was just before the Passover feast. Jesus knew that the time had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own, who were in the world, he now showed them the full extent of his love. The evening meal was being served, and the devil had already prompted Judas Iscariot, son of Simon, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So, he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus replied, "You do not realize now what I'm doing, but later you will understand." "No," said Peter, "you shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no part with me." "Then, Lord," Simon Peter replied, "not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well." Jesus answered, "Those who have had a bath need only to wash their feet. Their whole body is clean, and you are clean. Though not every one of you." For he knew who was going to betray him, and that was why he said, "Not everyone was clean." When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. "Do you understand what I've done for you?" he asked them. "You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. But now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you should also wash one another's feet. I've set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. I tell you the truth, servants are not greater than their masters, nor are messengers greater than those who sent them. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them." So Galatians 5:22-23. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. So presumably, in every list that you do of those things, Jesus would have been at the big end. You've got to kind of assume, if we believe Jesus to be the person that he was, that whoever you put in this row of people, ordered in joy and ordered in gentleness and ordered in self-control, that Jesus will be number one on that row. You have to assume that, otherwise someone is better at being God than Jesus is. So Jesus is right here at the top of the list. Now, averages are funny things. So on the tall and short thing that we had before, we're not giants by any stretch, and there may well be someone taller than us in here. Not sure. I'm 6.5. You must be 6'1" then, or something like that. We're not basketball players. We're not these 7'2" type people that you see playing for the American sides. So we're not massive at all. But I should let you into a little secret. We see everyone as short. This was highlighted to me when we had the pleasure of going to Japan. And on the underground in Japan, when you're holding on to the thing, in London, you have to hold on to the thing like this. In Tokyo, these things just hit you in the face. And you can see from one end of the carriage to the other. And if you look right down the other end of the carriage, there's another European bloke going, "Hello," above all these shorter people. But being 6 foot and a bit, you do see the world as full of short people. Imagine how Jesus felt. Just imagine, right? Any list in the world, any group of people in the world, could you please get in order of... Could you please put yourself in order of the amount of love you show? Here's Jesus. Here's everybody else. Could you put yourself in order of how joyful you are? Here's Jesus. Here's everybody else. Peace, Jesus, everybody else. Patience, Jesus, everybody else. Jesus is in a position, let's talk about joyfulness, where Jesus is the most joyful person who has ever lived. To Jesus, everyone seems miserable. Now, if you are a particularly joyful person, the benefits of being a joyful person speak for themselves, but you will actually see everybody else as being a bit miserable. Now, I'll talk about there is some advantage to that in a minute. I'll talk about that. But if you are a happy, lovely, careful, kind, gorgeous person, the world can actually seem to be a bit of a darker place because there's less people this side of you than this side of you. Now, I'll leave you with that thought for a minute. I'll come back to Jesus for a bit and then I'll come back to that average thing just to finish off. I'll read the first bit of the John thing. Just as an indication of how much Jesus was happy to put his friends first. It was just before the Passover. Jesus knew that the time had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. This is the meal. This is the thing. This is the moment where Jesus knows that his crucifixion is right around the corner. And at that moment, he decides to do the work of a servant for his friends. At that moment. Now, I don't know about you, but I know if something is playing on my mind, however I try to hide it, my face lets me down. So I will be trying my best to be up this end of the thing. I will be trying to be bubbly and joyful, but my face massively lets me down. Jesus literally has the sins of the world about to be put on his shoulders, and his mates, who he spent the last 3 years with, can't tell, and he decides to put on a towel around his waist and wash their feet, which is something that a rabbi just doesn't do. At that moment, my face would have been going preoccupied, but Jesus' face would have been one of joyfulness, love, patience, gentleness, right at that moment where any of us would have been able to go, you're looking a bit peaky, Jesus. But he managed to stay right at the end of this list, despite all of the cares of the world, just about to be thrust on his shoulders. So how does this look for us? If Jesus is role modeling all of those fruits of the Spirit by being a servant to his friends, how does that look for us? Now, first of all, if you are above average in height, that you can reach things on tall shelves, it's easier to get yourself in the loft, those kind of things. That's not particularly a good thing and a bad thing. Let's talk about this joyful thing. If you find yourself as a miserable person, maybe you don't know it. So look for clues. If everybody in the world seems really happy, maybe you're miserable. If you notice that other people are unhappy and are upset, and do seem to be getting flustered by things that just don't faze you that much, maybe it means that you are up here. If you find yourself towards Jesus' end, you're a role model. Other people will notice how you are about things and will see Jesus in you and will try to copy the way that you live your life. Especially people that you know that aren't of the faith, because you are actually Jesus to everybody that you know. You're Jesus to people who are Christians already, and maybe that's not so important, but you are definitely Jesus to people who don't know him. And people will watch you to see how you behave in certain circumstances. So if you can work out that you are a joyful person, then role model that. Let that affect, let God help you to make that affect the way that you live your life. Now the bad news is that if you are not a joyful person and other people know you as a Christian, the bad news is that you are still role modeling Jesus to them. So if you don't have a good enough set of the fruits of the Spirit, you as a miserable person are still role modeling to them what Jesus looks like. So it's a funny thing. I'll read you the list again. Maybe I'll read it a little bit slower, because I suppose the challenge for all of us is to work out, through, you know, working it out yourself, but also asking God to show you these things, or maybe asking Christian friends that you trust to help you with this stuff. But which of these are you here? Because keep doing what you're doing. But which of these are you here? Because you're telling people that's what Jesus is like. So I'll read them again, slowly. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Let's pick on one again. Kindness. So I'll just say that again. If you're over here, you may notice the world is an unkind place. If you think that the world is an unkind place, that's good news, because that puts you here. If when you look around and all you see is people doing things that you wouldn't have thought of doing, then maybe you've got a job to do on the kindness front. If the people around you seem to be putting others first more than you normally do, if you are surprised by the kindness of others, then ask God to help you with that journey towards where He is. So if the world seems unkind, maybe you're here. If the world seems very kind and very lovely, maybe you're here. I'm always very suspicious of people who go away on holiday and then they come back on holiday and think, oh, all the people were so lovely. Oh, right, all the people were so lovely, were they? What does that say about you? I'm perhaps being a little bit unfair. But, oh, yeah, oh, Albanians, oh, I love them. I love them all. Okay, good. But if you see kindness everywhere, maybe you should be suspicious of that. If you see unkindness everywhere, then maybe God is telling you that it is your job to keep being kind. And you can go through the rest of the list. I'll read it again. Why not? It's a good list. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Peace is an interesting one. If people around you just seem angry about stuff all the time, maybe that means you're here and your job is to be peaceful. If everyone in the world seems a whole load more chilled out than you are, take a hint, because Jesus is up that end. And you can do that with every single one of those. Try to work out where you are on the list. Right, so back to Jesus. Jesus is here in every single one of those lists. In every single one of those lists. So how did he show that to his friends? Well, he showed it to them in a number of ways. He did teach them. He did lead them from places. Where they went, he followed. But on this particular time, Passover meal, just before or it was all going to go horribly wrong, he decided that he was going to strip to the waist and wash their feet. Now, this idea of the master being the servant and the servant being the master, we in Western society, we have grown up with that idea of being a thing. We have grown up with that idea of being a thing because we've got 2,000 years of Christianity behind us. We've got 2,000 years since that story happened. The first shall be last, the last shall be first, all that kind of stuff. It's not too big a deal. The master being the servant being the master. The CEO of the company doing the sweeping up. That kind of thing. It's like a lovely little story, but it's not a big deal because we've lived with the story for a very long time. Jesus wasn't living with that story. That is not what was done. It was the servant who washed your feet. It wasn't the master. It was the people who you didn't really talk with who washed your feet, not your friend. Now, because of this story, because of Jesus, because of our heritage in this society, the story doesn't seem so wow. But at the time, everyone would have had Peter's reaction. No way, you're not washing my feet. Now, a little aside about that reaction for Peter. God says something. Doesn't matter what it is. God says, and you will have all read something, you will have perhaps heard something from someone else, where there just seems to be a little bit of a message for you from God. Peter, and all of us from time to time, do this. God says, no way. God says, and then we go overboard. Instead of just following the instruction, we don't sometimes seem to be able to get it right. So God says, Jesus says to Peter, I'm going to wash your feet. No way. Yes, I am. Wash all of me. Instead of just following what Jesus wanted to do, Peter decides to just manipulate it for his own understanding of what's going on. So instead of just being obedient, he does the, well, on my terms. Oh no, come on, please. Well, on my terms. And if Peter had just, with the other disciples, gone, wow, this is a bit weird. Jesus says I'll understand this later, so I'll go with that. On you go, Jesus. Thank you. So what did Jesus do? Jesus is at the end of this list. So rather than making a big song and dance of being at the end of this list, he strips to the waist and he washes their feet. I think all of this average stuff, I think you just need to work that out for yourself. Of the fruits of the Spirit, work out where you're at. And make an actual thing of working out where you're at. Work out whether you're below average, above average. If you're below average, ask God to help you get out that way. If you're above average, maybe that's one of your jobs. That's one of your roles. That's one of the things that God is calling you to do. It's a gift. You use gifts, you don't leave them in the cupboard. So a gift of the Spirit has to be given for a purpose, for a reason. So if you find yourself shoulder to shoulder with Jesus at this end of one of those things, that's your job. And if you find yourself a long way away from Jesus, that is also your job. But it's a job to try and march ever slowly towards Jesus' end. The disciples loved Jesus, and he loved them. And he showed his love for them by putting himself beneath them. How do we do that with each other? How do we do that with people that we know outside of here? How do we do that when we're at work? How do we do that when we're with our family? There was a wedding I went to, and there was a guy who was leading the wedding, and talked about the marriage between a husband and a wife. And the one phrase that kind of stuck with me was to the husband, it's not about you. And to the wife, it's not about you. It's about the other person. And Jesus saw that with his disciples. And the disciples certainly saw that with Jesus. Being a follower of Jesus, it's not about me. And Jesus, in his amazing way, he knows that to be true as well. Jesus says, he's saying to you, this is weird, right? The ruler of the universe, the creator of the universe, is saying to you, these are Jesus' words. Jesus says to you, Jesus says about himself, it's not about me. And washes your feet. Now, if Jesus can say that about us, then surely we can say that about the people that we love. And then the next step is to say that about the people that we hardly know. And then the next step is to say it about people we've never met. And then the next step is to say it about people that we disagree with. And the next step is to say that about people we don't like. But if we can say to other people, starting with the people that we love, it's not about me, it's about you, then we do become more and more towards this end of the list and closer to Jesus with every step that we take. When I do teaching, I try to make sure I say the same thing over and over again. I think I might have done that, but just in case, you can only raise the average if you're better than average. If you want to make the world a better place, it's a waste of time being in the middle. You can only raise the average by being better than average. Otherwise, society and the world isn't even going to notice. If you plonk yourself in the middle, you're adding to how it already is. If you want the world to be a better place, you need to be better than average. There's a list of gifts that God wants to give us. And if we feel that we're not using those gifts enough to be down this end with Jesus, then I guess there's a risk that we're down here with other people. If you feel like you've got the gift of patience, you'll notice impatient people. And if you notice people being impatient, that may well mean that being patient is your job. But if everybody in the world seems really patient, and you're not, that's also your job. And your job, with God's help, is to creep ever closer to him. And how did Jesus use his spirits, his gifts of the Spirit? He used them to be number one in all of the lists. But he showed that to people, to other people, by becoming lower than them. By saying to all of them, Judas, it's not about me, it's about you. Peter, it's not about me, it's about you. Andrew, it's not about me, it's about you. And let me wash your feet. Let's search for ways to move ever closer to Jesus in all of those gifts. Let's ask for those gifts. And then let's ask that we get told how to use them and that we're not just leaving them in a cupboard. Jesus loved his disciples. The disciples loved him. If we're to be like Jesus, then that should be our aim as well. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. And if we're using this line across the front of the church, the steps that we take just need to be in that direction. We need to understand that if we go in that direction, we will perhaps notice that other people, if we're above average, we will notice that other people are below average. But that does make it our job to keep using these gifts of the Spirit. If you find yourself being a massively patient person, then that is your job. If you find yourself being a massively impatient person, your job is to try to walk in that direction. Because that's where Jesus is. And the job of all of us is, I suppose, to walk ever closer to where Jesus is. Let's say the grace to one another. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.